Well, see, this is going to be a good class. I can already feel it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to get in your word. Father, you know my prayer is that you'll move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Father, this is about you and about your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit to control us, that we may hear from your word. In Jesus' name we all say, praise hallelujah. All right. Guys, we got to go back, do a little quick review. What's, how important is the word? All important. What is the only thing that's true about God? What God says true about himself. Anything else said that is true about God that God did not say is? Idolatry. Idolatry. You guys got a couple of seats here? A couple of empties? Oh, you're going to just try to slide in and force yourself in on people that can't write, huh? I can't believe you guys are going to hide back there. There's the table right up here. You studied better in the bag, huh? Okay, bro. I want you to know that you're on tape. All right. We got evidence he likes to stay in the back. The only thing they said when they passed the equal rights and the amendments and everything, it just made it legal for blacks to sit in the back. But we won't go there. It's a church for all people. Sensitive issue. When we're looking at the whole aspect of the Trinity, we got to understand that the Trinity can be understood for what has been revealed by God. When we look at God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, remember the triangle that we had up there. Remember that? Who is the most important? I said, well, all right, Pastor. I said, what are you talking about? Essence or role? If we're talking about essence, who's the most important? They're all equal. You can put either one at the top of the triangle. And it's great. When we talk about role, who is the greatest? God the Father. Next, God the Son. And then third, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? We want to forget that. And we're going to get into the majority of the age that we're in now, the church age, is centered around the Holy Spirit. We're going to see God the Father. Then we see Christ. We're going to walk through Christ. And then we're going to move and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in all of us as believers. If you don't understand that, your Christian life is more of a burden than a blessing. Because the Holy Spirit, after Christ was resurrected, became his role to run and to teach through the dialect of the Spirit, the Word of God, for you and I through the church age. And then Christ will be centered again in the millennial kingdom, where he's going to come back and rule. And then we go back to the three after the millennial kingdom with the new earth and the new heaven. God is so in order, you can just walk it through and see that. After the church age, the earth as we know it only has 1,007 years. Then it's going to be destroyed. And you got to understand that the world today was not created by the Big Bang Theory. It's going to be destroyed by the Big Bang Theory. Amen? And we're going to talk about that as we go through this class. Yeah, I mean, if there should be nothing outside of the major issues of any parts of Christianity that you won't be able to answer once we go through this class. You're going to have it right in front of you through the things we're going to learn. If we're going to learn anything about God, it's got to come from the Scripture. If we're going to learn anything about the Trinity, it better come from the Scriptures. Because how important is the Scriptures? All important. We talked about God the Father and as the part of the Trinity without you knowing it when we studied the Word. Even though the written Word is Jesus Christ. And that's where we'll move now to the second part of the Trinity tonight. And we're going to talk about Jesus Christ. Now, in order to understand Jesus Christ, to put him at the top of the triangle, we have to look at him in his essence in order to understand his role. The only way we can study his role is to understand his essence. We cannot make Christ, who who he is because of what he does and what he has done. We will understand what he has done by understanding his essence being all God, nothing less, nothing more. Anytime someone says to you and I, how can God send anyone to hell? The first thing they have, can you grab the janitor and see if we can get this open to get another table? The most important thing that you got to understand when someone says, how can God do this? If God is a God of love, how can he send anyone to hell? What have they just done? What was that? Not believe it? More than that. They have questioned God, but more than that. They limited him, thus they have totally eliminated God. Okay? Let me see if I can get this. Ladies, you get this quicker than the guy. Because you bake. We eat what you bake. Amen? Now, if we look at an apple pie, you can understand. Now, you got to understand something. I don't like pies, all right?
No.
I don't like pies. I don't like anybody's pies. Closest pie I can like is beef pie and chicken pie. Okay? I can get into beef pie, chicken pie. But any other kind of pie, I really don't like. I grew up in the South, S-O-U-F-F. Still don't like pie. Pecan pies, cobblers, whatever. I just never developed a taste for it. We need one. And if we put it right over here, Mark, it'd be great. Okay, but when we get through tonight, you want us to take these all down or leave them? Leave them like they are. Okay, thanks, bro. Appreciate it. The one thing that's real important is let's look at the ingredients of an apple pie. Can I get an amen somewhere? Are you drooling yet? So, ladies, what do I need to make an apple pie? Apples is pretty important to make an apple pie. All right, so we got some apples. We need some sugar. We need some flour. We need a little dab of salt. Some oil, 10, 30, 40, what weight? We need some oil, vegetable oil, or whatever you guys use there.
Got to have a pan first.
It's nice to have a pan, okay? And what else? You got to have some spices, cinnamon, and other things that y'all put in there, okay? And then you got to have a combination of thyme and heat. Okay, am I right? Now, what we can do is, what if we just took some apples and put that in our mouth and a cup of sugar, throw that in there, and then we grab some flour, and you know, and then we take a little salt and cinnamon, and then we stick our head in the oven. You know, now, did we have an apple pie? You had a mess. We didn't have an apple pie. Am I right or wrong? But if you put it all together, mix it right, put it in the oven, then bring it out, cut it, and eat it. Then you have an apple pie. So is the apple pie the conglomerate of all that it is, or is the apple pie the mixture that which you can't take one ingredient out anymore? You understand what I'm saying? And what we try to do with God, we try to do with God the way we do an apple pie. We try to take God's love and we try to take God's judgment and we want to pull it out of him and set it aside and try to understand him. But the minute you move one ingredient out of that apple pie, you have a mess. And you can't separate that apple pie like you can't separate God and his attributes. And that's why the Trinity is so hard to understand. Without the Trinity, you don't have God. And if you try to make God all Christ, you try to make God all the Holy Spirit, you're trying to make God all the Father, you don't have God, you have a mess. And the minute you say, if he's a God of love, how can he judge? You just eliminated the God of the Bible. You fooling with me? Some of you going, yeah. Just keep on teaching, Pastor. Okay, so you got to understand that that's what we're dealing with. We're breaking down God in many ways in his attributes. So that we can say have a small part of what he has said he is. But in order to understand God, he must all move at one time. See, I know it's hard to believe, but I am a black man. I know you. I just completely threw you off. And so, regardless what I do as a black man. I can even act white. Gee Willikers will jump in Jehoshaphat, you guys. But even when I act white or try to pretend like I'm white, I act white as a black man because that's what I am. Now I can, as a black man, I can love one person and dislike another because I am not love. I have love, thus I can direct it at one person and not another. But I can't direct my blackness at one person or another. It's got to be all because that's me. And you see, when God is God, He is just as much love in His judgment as it is wrath in His grace. You see where we're going? It is Him, because that's what He is. We have love. He is love. We have wrath. He is wrath. We have grace, but He is grace. And thus, every time He moves, all of Him must move. And that's why it must be the Trinity in order to be God, because when you try to separate the Trinity, you come up with a idol. So are we flowing? Somebody's going, I know we're flowing, but where? Okay, so we got God the Father, that was in the role. We studied Him first because that's His role. But in order to understand His role, we had to look at Him in His essence. Because if you don't get yourself in it from anything, you want to get it from your role or your essence. And you know why you want to get it from your essence? Because that's where God's whole image comes from. Not what He does or doesn't do. That's why you can't say someone that tries to make God an unloving God because He says, kill everyone in the city when you go through there. Kill all the women, the children, everybody. It's beyond us to see that any love can be in that. One of the greatest things about God when He does that is every child that was wiped out that He knew was going to grow up and be a heathen goes to heaven. That He never would if He would have left them alive. We don't see that intimacy, that understanding. What kills me is the fact of the soldiers that He sent through there to do that had to hold that baby down and kill it. We don't make it personal, the obedience of God. It's obedience to God, guys, because His thoughts is above our thoughts and His ways is above our ways. What He says is the ultimate truth and the best. A lot of people think God in relationships is a killjoy. Where He says, look, I made you. If I made you, I know what's best. And if you want a good relationship, do what I say a relationship is. If not, you're going to end up being a mess. Because He is the ultimate, you see. Okay, we're flowing. Okay, so now we're going to look at God's essence. Thus, we can put Jesus Christ at the top of the triangle in order to understand His role. He is not who He is because of what He does. He did what He did because of who He was. Okay? Some of y'all are going to have to get the tape because sometimes I can't remember what I said. Jesus, the Lion of Judah. Can I get an amen? Now, that was a weak amen if I ever heard one. As a matter of fact, it was so weak I didn't hear it. That was a weak roar, too, but it's the Caucasian sister. It ain't a brother sister. It ain't got no bass to it. Lion is roaring with a tenor behind, you know, a little soprano roar. Meow. Okay, are we ready to get into some verses? Jesus Christ. Call God by name. Now, we've already studied in God's image He made. In our image He made. In more than one He made, yet one image. What is the difference when you say man is different from animals because we are made in God's image? What does that mean? You remember what we talked about? We have the free will to choose and to reject. And we're the only creatures that has the opportunity to truly worship. Okay? Fellowship with God and animals never was broken. God and animals never know what it means for animals to rebel. That's why we call it instinct, what animals do. It's total obedience to God, what animals do. So when my dog bites you, if you come on my plate, he's just fellowshipping with God. Oh, either I forgot to feed him that day, you know, but God's sovereign, he helped me not feed him. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, call God by name. Where did go, Leo, baby? Uh-oh. I better back up, man. Did he put my verses in there? What's up? Okay, now you got to go with John 1:1. So look it up. I'll put these verses back in there as we go through for next week. But tonight, you guys are going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. We went a lot faster than I thought we did, evidently. Okay, who will look up John 1:1 for me? Hands. All right, that one. Who will look up Titus 2:13? Titus 2:13, who will look it up? Okay. And Romans 9:5, who will look up there? Okay, ma'am. And you gotta do what? When you read these verses, you gotta do what? Wow. You gotta read them loud, because the brother needs it. Call God by name, the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:1. Stand up and read it for me. Wait a minute. Does that call Jesus God by name? Let's read it again real loud.
Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Uh-oh. Even Jehovah's Witnesses will have a problem with this verse. Why would Jehovah's Witnesses have a problem with this verse? They think he was a man. They think they would tell you he's the Son of God. They believe that, but they won't say that he is God. Okay? And this verse is translated, in the beginning was a God, and the Word was with God, was with a God, and the Word was a God. Yet and still, you got a problem with it, because even if the Word was with a God, and the Word was a God, you got two gods still in the way it's translated. Even though they got the Greek scholars, they still translate that wrong and can't get away from it, that there's more than one God. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be excited about this. This is boring stuff. It's doctrine. And I want you to not enjoy this class from now on. Okay? God is called the Word. The Word is called God. Who is the Word in that verse? Someone read 2 and 3 with me.
The same was in the beginning with God. You know? Mm-hmm. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Keep going.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Keep reading.
And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Keep reading.
There was a man sent.
Skip over 3 verses, 4 verses back to Christ.
Okay.
Because I'm talking about John the Baptist.
Okay. So you want me to go with 4?
No, go past John the Baptist down to. Yes. Is it verse 9?
9. That was the true light, which lightens every man that cometh into the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the world knew him not.
Mm-hmm.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Mm-hmm.
But as many as received him, he gave the power to become the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
sons of God,
mm-hmm.
even to them that believed on his name.
Uh-huh. Which is good, yeah. Keep going.
Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
Who is this?
Speaking.
No, I mean, we know who's speaking. John. Who is he talking about? Can you imagine, if you understand the simple aspect of who the Word is, How anyone can say that Jesus Christ is not God? Can you come? I mean, can you come? Common sense, just by reading John 1, would tell you that Jesus is more than just a prophet. He was with God in the beginning. God is the only thing that is eternal from the past. Who else is with God? And then at the same time in chapter 1, he is called God. We got a problem. If you are saying that you believe in the Trinity, but you believe that there is one God who took on different roles. Now that's how most Christians that don't want to believe in the Trinity explains it. My brother, he's probably not a brother, but he's a brother with a different mother, and with the same dark skin like me, T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes don't believe in the Trinity, the way the Bible teaches it. Most of our charismatic brothers don't. They believe that God took on the role of God the Father, and then when he take on the role of Jesus Christ, he ceases to be God the Father at that time. And then he takes on the role of the Holy Spirit, so he ceases to be the Son or the Father at that time because it's one God taking on a different role. Thus, when he was in man as Jesus Christ, he had to leave the man, let the man die, because God can't die. That's how many teach the Trinity. You guys know that? So they would sound good, because they say, yeah, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but they won't tell you that they believe that one God took on three different roles. And these verses alone, if you use common sense, will eliminate that because that's more than one where? That's more than one God according to these verses where? Since the beginning. So you're going to have to understand that not only do you need to understand about the Trinity and who God is, you need to understand it in such a way that you can pick out the counterfeit when they come to you. In order to deal with counterfeit truths, you don't need to study the counterfeit. You need to understand that which is true, and then when you see a counterfeit, you recognize it. Huh? Like many people say, man, I need to know this, and I need to know... No, you don't. You need to know the truth so you can know how to deal with that, and that, and that, and that, and that. Huh? You guys know what they do at the Treasury Department? In the Treasury Department, when they're training people to pick out counterfeits, they never allow them to touch a counterfeit dollar their whole training. They only hammer real money. The whole training program. And after the training program is over, they can slip a counterfeit in, and the minute they touch it, they know what? Don't look right, don't feel right, it's counterfeit. Why? Because they have learned the real thing. Deep pocket president, that one. I shouldn't get excited about that. This is a church. Oh, I don't need money. I'm going to tell everyone about something. Okay. Oh, my battery is fully charged. How come you guys didn't tell me that? Oh, I can't believe you said that. And you and I are supposed to be tight, bro. Ooh, the black man is cool. Now, when we look at the whole aspect of John 1:1, are you seeing the flow of how we can put Jesus Christ at the top of the apex because of his essence so we can understand his role? God gets his image out of his essence or his role? Out of his essence. You need to get your self-image out of your essence or your role. Because when you see who you are in your essence, as you see God, who he is in his essence, what he does doesn't bother you and I. That's why if we understand God in his essence, guys, that God can come down, get on the cross, be beaten and humiliated, and never cease to be God. But even think you and I are worth it. Are we beginning to understand a little bit? Huh? Now let's look at Titus 2:13. If you have any questions, don't forget, raise your hand, let's talk about it, because we're going to speed up and go a little faster here.
While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
how great God and who? You mean to tell me the Bible calls him God too? How many of you in here can accept Jesus Christ as Savior and not Lord? Every one of us. We accept him, we think, as Savior. But he came along as Savior and Lord. Now, if he comes along as Savior and Lord, what is the one thing we need to do after we accept him as Savior? We mature into understanding what we accepted him from the very first day we accepted him. Because if you don't, see, that's why Christians many times still live the life they want to after they accept Christ. They think they're still the Lord of their life. Can I get an amen from somebody here? You see, is anyone getting excited for me? That's why some Christians take off before other Christians. Have y'all thought about that? Why does some Christians come to know the Lord, man, and in a short period of time, boom, they just take off with Jesus? Other people come to know the Lord, and it's years and years and years before they really take off. The difference is understanding Lordship and who you belong to. Oh. Hey, this is a quiet class. Am I just mesmerizing? That must be it. That must be it. Romans 9:5, real loud.
There are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen.
Did you guys hear that in the back? Oh, you got to stand and read that. And you got to stand and read it loud. I'm going to let you try to get away with it once. Sit down while you read.
There are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen.
Is the Bible just nasty when it comes to just laying out who Jesus is? Most people believe the Bible because of what? They do not know what it says. If you're going to be a great Christian, used by God in ways that you can never believe, you must make yourself a student of the Word. And when we go through the Holy Spirit, understand who Jesus is, what God did to sacrifice. Now, many people think, man, if God was so great, why didn't he die for you and I? God the Father. Because God does nothing that isn't perfect. What is more difficult, for you to die or to watch your son or daughter die for someone that's not going to appreciate them? And people go, well, Jesus, I mean, he knew he was going to rise again. Do you understand what happened when the second person of the Trinity died? For eternity past, for the first time in the relationship, fellowship had to be broken between God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me on the cross? Quoting Psalms 22, verse 1. Of course, you all knew that. Why did he say that? When he became sin, God, the Father, God, the Holy Spirit turned it back to him for the first time since he turned it back. Because God had to forsake him when he became sin, because God couldn't do what? Have fellowship with sin. Yeah, Broski.
So when he said, he kind of looked up, he said, that's when
I made the payment.
They turned back again.
No. He couldn't have turned back again. Why? Anyone know why he couldn't have turned back at that time? What's that? I mean, it is accomplished, meaning I have become sin. I'm now paid. He hadn't died yet, right? Okay. And how do we know that the Father didn't turn back and look at him at that time? Went dark. The light of the world became sin. It was dark between 12 and 3. Because there was no light in the world. Oh! Ah! Come to the pastor, baby. This devil nasty. You don't think folks said, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Now I want to tell you something else too. What was nasty? You read some of the scriptures. When Jesus died, boom, the earthquake hit, grave was open, and some of the patriarchs and people got out the grave, started walking around, said, uh-oh, y'all done messed up. So I'm going to tell you something. Whoa. Probably was good it was dark, because folks would have been shook up and dead folks walking around. People were dying, and other people that died were getting up. Ooh, God can mess up the world. And if we don't deal with what God has given us, anytime God opens up, like he's opened up himself with the passion, and at the same time, equal to the passion, Satan is trying to raise a ruckus with gay marriages, guys. I'm going to tell you, at least the devil knows something's up. Jesus was what? Called who? By what? Jesus was called God by what? What did he call? By scripture. You guys on top of it, you just with phrases. That's too simple. I know that's what was going through your mind. It was called God by the scripture. What is the only thing that's true about God? What God has said is true. You can take it to the bank, baby, that he is God. And we don't give Christ his due. We don't give God the Father's due. And we, when we get to the Holy Spirit, we're going to really learn. We don't give him his due. Some Bibles call the Holy Spirit it. How would you like to be called it? Well, some people call me worse. Amen. But, my brothers, now this, thank you. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. The path is chilly. Succinctly. Now, this is something, folks, when we're going to walk through these, it's going to blow your mind. Because in the aspect of studying Christ and his attributes, aspects of, there's no problem except in one of his attributes that is a total contradiction to the aspect of logic. Okay? Logic says that if A is true, about the same subject, logic says, if A is true and B has an opposite opinion of A, B must be false, or A and B is false. Keep that in mind. That's logic. If two different entities have two different aspects about one issue, if one is wrong, the other could be right, or they're both wrong. They can't be both right. Okay? That's logic. Except when it comes to God, because God is where in logic? He embodies logic, thus he is more than logical. Huh? Anybody lose anybody? Won't we break it down for you? Okay. Now we're gonna give man the benefit of the doubt. This whole page is all of God's knowledge. Omniscience. We'll talk about that in a minute. All what? Omniscience. All wise. All wisdom. Okay? That's going to represent God. See the dot behind the C? Or you can put any dot you want. Cut it in half, and you got all of man's knowledge. Okay, and that's giving man the benefit of the doubt. Okay? Compared to all knowledge, now, if you're going to be taught by somebody in school, you want to be taught by someone in the subject you want to study who has all the knowledge about the subject, or someone that has a dot knowledge about the subject. Oh, please, that girly ring. No wonder you're limping. Get a man ring, boy. So when we look at this, right? A question I want to ask you. Question. Up until the 1960s, a cure for polio was outside a man's knowledge, right? So if something is outside man's knowledge, can you say it cannot exist? If man's logic is based upon what he knows, can we agree that outside of man's knowledge, logic may not work? You're talking to the pastor. Okay, that's just like electricity. I don't understand really how electricity, I can talk about the negative and the positive and all that jive and how it goes down the wire and da 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 da. But I really don't understand how electricity works. But I'm not going to sit in the dark until I do. You know what I'm saying? Are you rolling with the pastor here? I know if I click that switch, something's going to do what? You're going to be able to see me better in this room. But if you cut it off, I got an advantage. I love white people. White people say, you know, if you go dark, don't smile. You know, was your teeth black or something? You better not smile either in the dark. As a matter of fact, you don't have to smile. I see you glow. Now, what's this? So, this whole class, guess what we're going to be doing? We're going to step outside of man's knowledge. That's what we're doing. And if it's outside of man's knowledge, outside of logic, many of the things we're talking about, what is the only way you and I can accept it? Faith. It's the greatest movement of God and man that has ever existed. It's for God to say, in order for you to deal with me, you got to have faith. Is that just smoking? See, inside a man's knowledge, there is death. Can you hear you? Inside a man's knowledge, there's death. Outside a man's knowledge, death and sleep is the same. Yo, bro. You can have faith without the Holy Spirit, that faith that God's given you, yes. You just got back in the dock. We got to get outside the dock. Yeah. When you look at it, the whole point says you can't have faith unless the Holy Spirit pricks you anyway. So he doesn't have to be in you to give you. But you can respond to what he gives you in order for him to move into you so you can get more. Okay? All knowledge that brings us in face to face with God is basically outside of the limited knowledge of man, because if it was in the knowledge of man, there would be no need for faith. You can understand it. Yeah. God convicts you, but why can he convict you? No, because it's written in your heart to know the difference between good and evil. Romans chapter 15, verse 3, I think it is. Or is it 3:15? Romans 3:15. Yeah, keep reading. Oh, try 2:15. My brain is going through the computer right now. What's that? Romans 2:15, right? Come read it.
Got it.
Okay.
Since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending.
You know what God says? Do anyone in here know what a conscience is? And even non-believers have a what? It is God's moral law outside of man's logic that will keep you from going crazy. And if you don't respond to it, it will drive you crazy. Because God wrote it on your heart But the difference between right and wrong, that's why you can have a conscience. It is not man given a man made. It is an aspect of God who has created you and I to make sure you deal with Him. Because left up to you, you never would. Are you puzzled, TC?
Yeah.
Hope and
faith. You say hope and faith
are one
and the same?
Hope and faith is exactly the same.
It's okay to question faith.
No. It's okay to know why you're questioning. You see, God don't mind you asking Him questions, but He hates for you to question Him. No, that's the difference. Okay, big difference. Okay? Are we flowing together? Okay. Man, people are getting into it tonight, baby.
How would you not question?
If the only way you can question Him is you got to have a relationship with Him.
Okay, how do you know if you have a relationship with
Christ? For the simple reason, when you come to the conclusion, there is a God. Have you come to that conclusion?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you come to the conclusion that God has a plan for you. Have you come to that conclusion? No. Then if you hadn't come to that conclusion, you hadn't come to the next conclusion. That is, God, through Jesus Christ, has paid for that plan that He has for you. Then you got to say, okay, God, I accept you, Jesus, for my sins. Forgive me for the sins. And then you move into the plan that God has for you. Have you done that? That's why you won't know the difference. And that's why you need to make that decision. You want to make that decision tonight? Okay? Keep listening. You will.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said that if you know God, you can question Him.
No, no. You can ask God questions. But don't question Him. So wait, let me say the big difference. My kids come in and say, Dad, where is the sugar? That's asking that question. He wants to know. When my kids come in and say, Dad, why are you asking me to go get the sugar? You see the difference. One is, he asked me a question. The other is, he's questioning me. Unless you're in the relationship with him. Because if you're not in a relationship with him, the only thing you're going to do is ask him. You're going to question Him. How can it be best for me? I mean, that goes totally against what I think is right. That goes totally against me what I think is natural. That goes totally against what I want to accomplish in life. That goes. So you got to question God if He's really loving or He really cares about you. Because He seems like such a killjoy. Anybody can say amen to that? It's true, right? I mean, it's just amazing because we're dealing still inside where? To have God compared to all knowledge. And God's ways don't seem logical inside man's logic. Guess what? It isn't.
That kind of goes back to what you're saying when I speak about the child. The why?
We ask why a lot, don't we? See, now if you ask why when you're questioning God, or you ask why when you want to ask Him a question, major difference in your relationship. If you let me see if I can lay some on you real good, class. If you know me, could you ever leave and go away and say hush doesn't exist and still be sane? You know what I'm saying? And still be sane. Now we got to make it plain, right? Now there's a lot of people say He don't exist. I know He don't exist. Nobody could be like that. He doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? But if they get to know me, who do you think knows me in this church different than anyone else in this church? My wife and my kids. And my kids approach me in ways that you never would. Why? Because they know what? They know Dad. They go, someone walks by and says, that's Pastor Hutch. No, it's not. That's my dad. It's so amazing. One day my daughter, when she was younger, the second one, Avery, she came up to me at the house and she goes, Dad. Yeah, babe. She says, are you important at the church? I said, Well, yeah, probably. Everybody know who you are. You gotta be important. Because they never looked at me as the pastor of the church. They looked at me as their
dad.
And it's a total relationship. They don't see the power of the pastor. They just see the love of their dad. And the love of their dad demands certain things from them. Well, I can demand the same thing from you, and you won't see it as love. But because my kids see me, know me, spend time with me, I can say the same thing to them and you, and they'll take it totally different. That's the way with the Father. The Father. Oh, you don't know him. He just don't make sense. I shouldn't get excited about this, because this doctor stuff is boring. Don't you know that? To keep it boring. All right, we'll be fine. The person of Jesus Christ. How many minutes we got?
Half an hour.
Whew. You guys are inquisitive. Okay. Let's look at this. Power of God. We're going to have to go totally out of logic, right? You tell me which one, when we get to it, is totally outside of logic. Okay? It says, by the power of God. He has the power of God. Jesus Christ has the power of God in him. Life. Someone who will read John 1:4 for me? Give me the hand. Okay, John 1:4. Who will read 1 John 1:2? Hand. Okay, in the back, Jeremy. Who will read John 5:19? Okay, bro. John 16:30? Okay. Who will read Colossians 1:16? Okay, in the back. I'm going to get some people. Oh, my Jesus, in the back. Come on, front people. These are front people. Luke, I take this one. I better take that one. And receives worship, John 20:28. Okay, bro. All right? Are we rolling? Can we ready to move? Okay. Give her a life. John 1:4.
In him was life, and that life was the light of men.
In him was
life.
And that
life.
In him was life, and he was the life. And in him was life, and life was him. But the life was the light of men, I think, or something like that, right? It's good stuff, so you can't rush through these verses. Well, we got a problem. We also got to study who Jesus is in his essence. At the same time, we have to study who Jesus is in his role. Who gives life, according to this verse? I'd make all things new. No, man has life. I'm going to make all things new means I'm going to give man a new relationship to God. I'm going to eliminate the sacrificial system finally and for all. I don't know about y'all, but I can talk about Jesus and I get faith bumps. Jesus. I love myself some Jesus, baby. I talk to a guy and say, I'm in love with a man. You know? What's that? Yes, I'm in love with a man. Jesus! They don't like that in the news.
Doesn't sound like it, does it?
I don't think so. How about John? 1 John 1 2? Read real loud.
The light appeared in the community and testified to it. And we proclaim to the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us.
Jesus is the eternal life. Do you guys understand? When we're going to get in here, we're going to study that. Eternal life is not living forever. According to the scriptures. We're going to find out that eternal life is knowing God. And it takes forever to get to know him. Because everyone that's born has got eternal life. It's just where you're going to spend it. See, the people that's born without Christ have everlasting life. Everlasting life has a beginning with no end. Eternal life, when you step in Christ, you don't have a beginning or an end. We're going to talk about that next. You're sure you know the difference. Can I get an amen from somebody? Because there's a major difference when you start talking about salvation and we start talking about eternal salvation and we start talking about not being able to lose your salvation. Okay. Life. Is there, in knowing that he can give life, is there a dichotomy? Is there an issue of no one else can give life? Think about it. How about this one? Eternal. Can there be more than one that can be eternal? Without contradiction. Yes. Every believer that has become a Christian is and will be eternal. Everyone that does not become a Christian will be and is eternal. Two, having eternality is no contradiction of logic. Okay, who has John 5:19? Read it very loud, please.
Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father do. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does.
Wait just a minute. No, we got a problem here. More than one person can have all knowledge. More than one person can create. More than one person may be able to forgive. More than one person can receive words. More than one person can give life. More than one person can give and be eternal. But there's a contradiction when you say there's more than one can have all power. If more than one can have all power, there's no such thing as being all powerful. You're co-equal. You may be more powerful than everybody else, but we heard the word, God the Father is all powerful, because it just says, if the Son is all powerful and He is God, then the Father got to be all powerful. And then we're going to study in the third aspect of the Trinity when we put the Trinity in His essence on the top of the triangle to study His role. He too is all powerful. How can there be more than one that's all-powerful and still be all-powerful? Essence and role, they're all-powerful. This, my friend, omnipotence, omnipotent, is an aspect of the Trinity that blows away all other religions. There can be no other religion anywhere that can claim to have all power. That's why in all other religions, you really don't know if you're going to make it. Do you know that everything checked this out? Everything that has power in it, about it, on it, for it, is borrowed from God. Now, if I know somebody has all power, do you want to be his friend or his enemy?
Friend. Real good friend.
And do you want to get to know him a little bit better than everybody else? Talk to the pastor. I mean, that's just logic. That's even inside this little dot. Let me see if I can throw this out at you. Suppose you had the ability to see into the future. The future. Sounds like the great philosopher Joker out of the first Batman movie.
I thought that would be a Star Trek movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm versatile in the movies. If you can see into the future, and you realize that 6 months from now, you're going to have to stand in front of a judge who has the power to put you in jail for the rest of your life or let you go. Six months. You see that? And you just so happen that same day you meet that judge. Can't hear you. So you're going to walk up to him and say, you know what, in 6 months, you may get me in 6 months, but I'm going to slap you right now. Pimp slap him. Would you do that?
No, I don't think so.
Come on now. I mean, you...
Why wouldn't do that?
Now, what would you do? Would you like some dinner? Steak? Take it. Lobster dinner?
Wash your car.
When we fill it up, please. You're going to try everything in the world so when you stand in front of him, he won't be your judge. He will be your friend. Try to kill him. But you know you can't kill him because you just saw 6 months in the fish. You got to do what? Stand in front of him. Well, I mean, that would be wise. I'm going to try to kill a guy, even though I know I can't kill him, he's going to be in front of me, and he's going to be, you have mercy on me, I know I tried to kill you. Would that be done? Now, check this out, guy. You and I are going to stand in front of he who is all-powerful one day. Today, you got an opportunity to do what? Make a new friend. You're going to be judged anyway, but one is judged by grace, the other is judged by your own works. Most of us can't even keep a job with our own works. Can I have an amen from somebody? Shoot it to the TCCC.
God's the only one that can give life, and why does man think he can take it?
Easy. Because man don't think God is the only one who can give life. Ask them about cloning. See, the biggest problem we got is this. Kind of reminds me, remember when I ever tell you the story about God and the scientist? Who tell you that? Not here, huh? Okay, scientists decided when they started cloning and making life, they said, we don't need God anymore. So really? No, we don't need God. So one of us got to draw straws to be able to go tell God we don't need him anymore. So that's okay, so they all got in the room and they pulled straws and one guy got the job, had to go tell God. So he called the meeting, God came down and said, yo, what's up, scientists? Because you know, science started because from Christians. Christians believe that if God was an orderly God, he created everything in order thus it could be studied. That's how science got going. And then we got educated beyond our intelligence after we started studying it. So then he says, man, we need to meet, and I just want to tell you that, we can make life, we don't need you anymore. God said, really? I said, oh, yeah. It's okay. So let's have a contest. Alright, we have a contest. God picked some dirt up, molded it, God breathed into it, man. Scientists reached down to get some dirt, because make your own dirt. See, even in cloning, what do we do? We take life and make life. Cloning don't bother me that much because they still got to deal with that which is already created in life to make life. It's what they want to do with cloning. Is a serious sin. All power. You understand? Come on, folks, do you understand what God did when it comes to all power? God came along and got in gravity and pulled the power out of gravity, and the walls of Jericho went against gravity and fell out. See, the wall was built in like this, so it was impregnable. Couldn't get in. And if earthquake came along, he should have done what? Should have fallen in. God took it, because the way it was built, this way, when it fell out, it was like steps. So they could all walk in to Jericho. And it shook the people up so bad they couldn't fight when the walls fell out. Now, in order for the walls to fall out, God had to do what? By taking the power out of gravity, took all the inertia, the power of inertia out, and gave it power to reverse itself out. Is anyone else just impressed? I guess not. How about this? Anyone can start understanding the pressure of water as you get deep? It can get so great it can crush a what? Submarine. If you get too deep, you hear one of them trees I was talking about Sunday. That's never been. Huh? You know what God did? God moved in. We don't think about the concept of the power that it takes for God to step into the Red Sea, release all the power from water, and then increase it to push it apart, and then have that pressure that push water apart and hold it. And the Greek word, the Hebrew word, excuse me, the U said the water gelled. The same word for jello. He gelled the wall, and then he removed the pressure that it took to make the walls go up so that man could walk through the pressure without being crushed. So, oh man! We got a God that's nasty! Oh! Woohoo! Yeah, you know what else is amazing? God takes the power out of disease when he wants to. I can heal you. Because what kills you? The power of the disease. God says, that's no problem. I gave the disease the power. It borrowed it from me. She's good, Louis.
So what kills is when you read the Bible about when God is going around the country and he's sent and stuff and bringing these people back from the dead, while all these people are fighting him. Because they were trying to do the same thing.
Because magicians could do the same thing. You know, they tried to do it with Moses. You know? But it was it's the most ignorant thing in the world. God made gnats. So the magicians come along and said, we can make gnats. So they got more gnats. Now that's real smart, you know what I'm saying? Oh, frogs, that's no problem, we can make frogs. Anytime we try to take over and do what God says do, we make our situation as worse. And we think we're smart. Anyone understand how against logic it is to have more than one that's all powerful and still be all powerful even though he is not the only one with all power? That's the Trinity. And you know what else power that God has? He has the power to change your eternal destiny. Oh, that's a good thing. John 16:30. Who got it? Now let me ask you guys a question. If God knows all things, why does he ask questions in the scripture?
Wants to know if you know.
Anytime you read the Bible and God asks a question, you make sure you spend time on what question he asked. Because he don't need to answer, because if he can learn the answer, he ceases to be God. But what he wants to know is, do you know the answer and are you living it? Good Bible study. One of these days I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write a book out on good Bible study techniques. I'm just lazy. Well, I don't have much time. That sounds better. Okay. What kind of knowing is he? Let me ask you guys a question. Jesus says, in one of the verses we're going to read, he says, and he answered them. They were saying to themselves, they were thinking, they was wondering, and Jesus answered them.
That wakes you up.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, man. Aren't we glad our parents didn't have that ability? But you can't get away from God, man. He knows your every thought. Think about it. Colossians 1:16, real loud. He is the numero uno of all the numeros. He is the big one. I want to ask you guys a question. Who created man? Jesus. That's his role. Who created all things? Jesus. God the Father never created one thing. God the Holy Spirit never created one thing. It's Jesus' role to create. You know what's so cool about that? You know when Mary was holding little Jesus? When he was a baby? He created his mother. That little baby created his mother. Even in spirit, your God goo-goos have power. Woo! Can you believe that? That's control, folks. And the best thing in the world is Jesus being born, because it eliminates the whole argument of when a person becomes a person. You see, if a fetus is just a fetus and not a life, Jesus did not exist for 9 months. And we know that God has never not existed. So life begins at conception. Eternity past. Eternity past even was limited to the egg being fertilized by the Holy Spirit to become life. So he moved from eternity past into temporariness at conception. You see the one got the flow with the black man on this one. Yo, bro. It was. We know it was God, but it was the Christ God. Because the Bible says there was never anything created that was not created by him. Oh, my goodness. Let me say it again. What's the best commentary on the Bible? The Bible. Oh. Psalms 139 says you was wonderfully created, made from the beginning of time. Who created you and I? When we get to eternal salvation, one of the verses says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. No height, no depths, no principalities, powers. Nothing. Not any other created thing. Now check this out. People says, well, you, God won't ever turn you loose, but you can walk away from him. I just asked the question. Are you a created thing? God says, nothing, even you. Wait till we get to that eternal salvation stuff. It's going to make your liver quiver. Ooh, it's good stuff, Julia. I shouldn't get excited because you guys just look at me like I'm crazy. Okay, this is mine. We'll do this one next week. Receives worship, John 20:28.
And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God.
What? Read that again.
And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God.
Is this doubting Thomas? Oh, dude was asked this, until I see the hole in his hand and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. Wouldn't you love to have a doubting Thomas on your team? Always can come up with what's wrong. Glass is never half full. It's always half empty. Thomas's. Them Thomas's. That's where the term doubting Thomas comes from. And you know what Jesus did to my boy? He came back to him with all the disciples together in one room, and Jesus walked through the door. Ooh, that one should have been enough right there. Amen. You know what I'm saying? They said they was in a locked room, and all of a sudden, there was Jesus. So somebody said, uh-oh, someone's got a camera. Throwing up an image here. I said, I know he was under the table the whole time. He was in there, in the table. Now he said there was not in a locked room, and Jesus just walked in. That's what's going to be so neat about our new bodies. It's not going to be limited to what we know here on earth. We can walk through walls. Woohoo! You know, it's going to be an absolute fantastic thing to know that God's going to remove these lusts of the flesh with our new bodies. Because it'll be some serious peeping dudes. get an amen somewhere? I tell him, God, I got to get them boys a new version. Ooh, ow. I mean, just all the old selfishness, the sin that drives us in the flesh, going to be gone. Oh, am I going to be smoking? Huh?
Right.
The days of vision is because of mercy and grace. Even in the Old Testament, mercy and grace. Ecclesiastes, you know, it's time for the bat, it's time for it to be put down. If God would hit each one of us every time we sin, there'd be a lot less sin. You know what I'm saying? But you'll be obedient to Him out of fear, not out of love. I mean, you can just see it, man. You can walk by and go, ooh, that boy's been sinning a lot. Look at all the knots on his head. she ain't that good herself. Look at her. She got makeup on it, too, trying to hide that knot with makeup on it.
What's sitting on that one?
But if it says, if God walked around with a bat and every time he said, plucked you on your head, you would be obedient, but God does not want obedience out of fear. He can get that. God has no problem making you and I obey Him. But it does not give Him glory to be obedient out of fear. You know what's so amazing, man, is when you receive worship. See, we know it's God. And in any time in the Old Testament, New Testament, you see Epiphany, and you think it's an angel, if it receives worship, it was Jesus Christ. Any other angel, anyone else says, don't worship me. You can't worship me. So that's how you can tell the difference in the Bible. If it's an angel of the Lord or if it's the angel of the Lord, being Jesus Christ, is whether he receives worship or not. No one else except man receives worship. Everyone else in heaven knows we better not. That belongs to God alone. You see, as Christians, I don't mind giving God the credit, I mean the glory, as long as I can get some of the credit. And God says, I want them both, the glory and the credit. Are we flowing? Jesus, man, is awesome, guys. I mean, he's just what's happening. And we're going to deal with forgive sin because it's just going to blow your mind next week when we get in those verses. Jesus, forgive sin. Deborah. Okay. You see, this is an auction. You just bought $1 million picture, baby. You bought something. Oh, that's all that is. Go, what's that? She's sick. Ah, I hope you're enjoying the class. Hope I'm giving you lots and lots of information. And I hope I'm giving you a lot, really a lot, to think about and to hold on to. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the class. Amen.